Ghost Kitty, Ghost Kitty, Ghost Kitty. Free the bees! Yeah, Ghost Kitty. What's up, Jack?
How you doing here, Michael?
I'm doing good. This is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and I am using my new devices. I am left alone with my devices. I'm calling this the What's Up, the Windowless Assault Terminal Satellite Uplink Pod, the What's Up. That's my rack mount unit, and I think I still have the flange on, but I like it. How are you doing, Jack?
Doing all right. You coming to us from the future. How are everything there?
I think I'm coming to you from 1972, it sounds more like. But
Yeah.
I'm full of it. I'm full of life. I'm full of it tonight. It's pretty nice, man. I like it.
Well, it's been a while since you and I talked. Last time before you headed up to Porkfest. So
You weren't there, man. You don't know.
No.
You don't even know if I was there. I'm trying to start a rumor that it was all just photoshopping, and I was really just in my windowless bunker basement in Wyoming, and as soon as Nikki Darling would upload photos of her and her friends, I would just jump on there and put myself in them and upload them. That's what I'm going with that.
I was
going
to tell you that I had a glass eyeball being a pirate, and that basically Diana had smuggled part of me up there to Porkfest, but I don't think it'll pass.
Eyeball. Brr. So, where are you broadcasting from tonight?
Well, high on top of a mountain in our hillbilly compound, surrounded by guys with shotguns and moonshot
shotguns.
Seals. How about? Yeah, I don't know why they need them.
I like to apparently. I like to be surrounded by guys with rifles. Shotguns are for hicks, man. Rifles are for protection at a distance.
I keep the AR. I keep the AR, man. Yeah. That's part of the deal.
Oh, you got one of them. What do they call those? Poodle shooters. I like real rifles, man. Those things are.
Them government guns.
Yeah, the government guns. There's a line in the Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom movie, which you can get the new version of, the shorter, better. Constitution free version by going to gunsandweed.com. You can get it free. You can torrent it, or you can look at it on the YouTubes. And there's a line in a song in there that says, something like 223. I can't even say it on the air, but it's basically saying that 223s are for pussy cats, and a battle rifle will stop your butt. Indeed, I guess would be the radio friendly version of it. Battle rifle, of course, being a many round mag capacity, 30 cal and 30, you know, 223s are, 223s are accurate and lethal to, I don't know, 400 yards probably. And battle rifles are, you know, lethal and accurate to, you know, 1,000 to 1,200 yards. So there you go. And they'll also go through most body armor, but we're peace loving guys. And that's what we're talking about tonight. So we're going to talk a bit about podcasting and why people should do it. You know, people do podcasting like Amanda. Amanda's listening. I know that. So she's not doing radio anymore, but she needs to. So a lot of people out there are asking me about this because I am on a mission from Pod to get more Liberty podcasts out there. We had a reader named Chase Anderson put this comment on the Fiend site, which I think is down at the moment because I think the government's messing with us again. Did you know that Davy Barker got $5,000 worth of Bitcoin stolen from him this week?
No. How'd it happen? What happened?
Oh, he didn't have double. He wrote it all up on the Daily Anarchist. You can go there and read it.
Okay, I can check it out.
Well, I mean, I could reiterate it, but briefly, he didn't have double authentication on his Gmail account, and he was using an online accessible wallet. But he was about to, like, basically, you know, you need to use that kind of, you know, online kind of thing to do commerce in public over a cell phone, like he was doing at Porkfest. And he was about to transfer it all to his private wallet. Like, he was going to do that like a half hour later, and somebody stole it. And the thing is, That wasn't just his money. That was like money he was raising people, you know, he was raising money for a bunch of charities. So there have been some other Bitcoin charities targeted that are all connected with Davy in some way or another, or he's connected to them. I don't know what like patient zero was of it or who they went after first, but there's somebody out there hacking, stealing Bitcoin from charities. So, you know, that's the level of scum we're talking about here. And We don't know, and we don't know what happened, but yeah, use dual authentic. Here's your news you can use. Use dual authentication, two-level authentication for anything, like, you know, where you have to have the password and know the picture or whatever, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, you're some scumbag, man. But, yeah, so this guy, so someone wrote me, and I get questions like this a lot. Chase Anderson wrote and said, about yesterday's episode, love this episode of the show. Enjoyed the discussion about starting your own Liberty Festival and being proactive. Yesterday I was saying, you know, don't complain about Pork Fest. Start your own competing thing. You know, if you want to have the anything that Pork Fest doesn't like, you know, instead of trying to change Pork Fest, do the libertarian thing, do the free market thing, and start a competing thing. You know, start your own like rougher one where anything goes and there's no holds barred. And and you know, I like Pork Fest a lot, and I'm not saying like get rid of Pork Fest. I'm saying like there need to be 100 things like Pork Fest, you know, where, you know, you can
get that idea.
Yeah, you can have the pirate fest and the beef fest, mm-hmm. where you just argue all the time or whatever. And so I also said in the show notes, you know, start your own festival and your own podcast. And he said, you mentioned in the notes starting your own podcast. I know that Michael Dean After Dark was intended to be the Liberty Radio School, and you've already succeeded in inspiring people like Nick Hazelton. Elaborate and tell us more why the Everyday Joe should want a podcast. Nick Hazelton is the 15-year-old guy who is a yak farmer who started the Anarcho-Yakitalist podcast.
Oh, yeah. Right, I saw that.
Yeah, it's at anyak.com, anyak.com. And you should definitely, you can go to TuneIn or Stitcher now, I think, too, or iTunes to get that also. But, yeah, so you've, you know, I've been trying to get Bill Buport for a long time to start a podcast, and he didn't have time to do it. So I was just like, oh, you should come be on my radio show. And and he's getting a lot of invitations now, especially post Pork Fest, because he was just shining all over the place and doing great at Pork Fest and made a lot of new friends and fans. And he's getting asked to be on a lot of other shows, and he's going to be on a lot of Fiends. He's a regular co-host on the Fiends. He's on the picture on the website. You're not, because you weren't at Pork Fest, Jack. We have 13 co-hosts, and 11 of them were there. I think
who else wasn't there?
The like old gray haired guy. No, I'm kidding. I mean, the guy, I love Randy England. I'm just saying, like, you know, the guy who you'd think wouldn't be there, you know, the grandpa, although Ben Stone's a grandpa. And I love Randy England, and he's coming next year. Are you going to Pork Fest?
I'm going to have to. That's what's going on.
I think you are going to.
Yeah. I may have to put down one of my four jobs to come up.
I may have to put down one of my yaks and sell the meat to come to Pork Fest.
Yeah, it looks like you guys had a lot of fun. Nikki Darling did an excellent job of just taking pictures of it.
Yep. Yeah, so you should be there next year. It's a good thing. And tell me a little bit about... Well, before I get into that, the thing with Bill Buport was, you know, I'm trying to get him to, like, do a radio show, do a podcast, and he's just too busy to do it. But he's such a valuable voice of liberty. He has to be on something regularly. So I put him on the Freedom Fiends. And I've talked to him the other day about, so are you ever going to start your own show? Not that I love having him on my show. But, you know, there should be a weekly or daily All Bill All the Time show. And he's like, yeah, but I'm just too busy. And I was kind of thinking about it. It's, you know, the difference between being a regular guest on a show and starting your own show is kind of the difference between being an attendee of Pork Fest and, like, running Pork Fest. You know, it's like everybody wants to go to Pork Fest. Nobody wants to run it. Everybody wants to go to it and or just complain that it's not being done the way they would do their own. So they should start their own. They should start their own, man. I mean, there was this band called the Big Boys, this punk rock band back in the day. And at the end of every set, the singer would, like, scream into the mic, like, while everyone's still applauding, he'd say, "Now go start your own band." And that was, like, that was really big inspiration for me, man. So tell me a little bit about you and radio and your life with radio and how it's benefited you and what kind of radio.
Oh, man, I've done commercial, sports, country music. Pirate radio for a while. I have to freely admit that's part of my life. Started out right after college in 96 and was on a little radio station. I'll say it's in Charlotte. It's near Charlotte. It was WRHI. We used to joke about it. We call it We're High. and WRHI. So really enjoyed being on that station. I learned a lot about the fact that I didn't really like sportscasters in the field, how to run a Marty. We had cart systems back then. And it kind of sticks with you. You really,
what's a Marty?
You
never, that was an old fashioned remote system, right?
Yeah. Right. It was an old remote
and
system.
Carts, that worked over carts the were time. Like, they looked like eight track tapes that had like an infinite loop on them of like a 60 second or 30 second commercial or something.
Yeah. You just, you had just a red, green, and a white button, and you hit it whenever you needed to do whatever you needed to do. And carts, I mean, they're amazing. Some people still use them today, like Strange Pirate Station is still somehow managed to get a hold of them. But radio's awesome.
But a lot of things, everything's automated now. I mean, everything we're hearing when we're not talking is automated. And you can do that. I mean, there's like, the real software the commercial stations and networks used to do, it costs money. But you can get like stripped down versions of that free.
Oh, I was listening to unnamed a radio app today because I kind of got had to get talked into using it, and you can actually it can sample all the feeds of every station that are on that conglomerate at one time. Like if you wanted to scan over, and I was like, well,
I'm talking about not for the listener but for the broadcaster, like, you know,
you can
set up from a home computer something that will play to a show clock, to an atomic clock, and like at the top of the hour play 6 minutes ads and then fade in the music and the bumps to bring you back in, like we're doing with GCN.
Right on. Gotcha. Totally.
There we go. There's a perfect example. We'll be back after this trip
to the market.
Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting to space.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Why do you do radio, and why should people podcast?
To me, it was the only way that I could find for myself to express my ideas to other folks where, you know, people, it's like radio, they actually have to listen to, well, they don't have to listen, they can turn the dial, of course, but they're more likely to listen to what you're saying. For some reason, people, when there's a magic to radio. And when people hear somebody talking about issues on the radio, they listen for a second. They see if they apply some type of value to it, and they go, is this worthwhile to me? And what I noticed about radio, especially in talk radio around Charlotte in that area, that a lot of the stuff was just really dry. And it wasn't talking about any of the major issues of the day that you would see on the street, whether that's from an activist standpoint or from a liberty standpoint. And when you finally get behind the mic and you get a chance to actually talk to people, it's important for you to be yourself, but at the same time, express exactly the things that you see that are going on that should be addressed most of the time that aren't addressed by the mainstream media. But that's kind of like putting a gloss on it. The real truth of the matter is that from a creative expression standpoint, it allows you to be who you really are. I think there's some people that are just made for radio. It's their life. It's what they are. It defines who they are.
Yeah, and I actually did radio in college. I took broadcasting classes in my little community college and was a DJ on the little 10-watt radio station, playing music, but did a lot of talking between songs, like more than music DJs are probably supposed to. And my program director was like, you'll never make it in radio. You don't have what it takes, kid. And I'm like, I don't care. I'm having fun. And there's a saying that I came up with that I use in the ad for my website, Creamy Radio Audio, on how it's a website on how to get, you know, caviar sound at a cat food budget. as I like to say. And the saying is, the most powerful form of human yeah, I'm great. I'm on radio. I can talk. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. And that's what radio is. Like, you know, whether you're talking to a million people or doing a podcast, you know, to 10 people. And I do call, when we're talking about radio, we're including podcasts in that. We're talking about talk radio, spoken, one or two or three or four co-hosts speaking about a topic to an audience. You know, something I'd like to see more of in Liberty is podcasts and radio that are kind of general interest or topic specific, because most podcasts and radio done by libertarians and ANCAPs are neither. Most of what what we talk about is tyranny. And it's like, I don't like that. I got burned out of that a long time ago. You know, I'll talk occasionally if a co-host really wants to talk about something that's in the news. You know, we actually have a bump that we play sometimes. It's this little song I made, 10 seconds long, called "Look What Obama Did to You Today." Look what Obama did to you today. And it's like, you know, I really thought about this a lot, and I really thought about it at Porkfest. Like, at Porkfest, you're in LibPair. You're in what we're trying to get to. Warts and all, you know, sewage not working, you know, the water getting run out, all the problems, whatever. It's still better than living in state of society. And cops don't even go in there, at least not show their face. They might be undercover, but no arrests. And people doing all sorts of unregulated commerce from, you know, weeds to probably sex to, you know, guns to who knows what. And it just, you know, for silver and Bitcoin and gold and cash and all sorts of stuff. And it's what the world should be, or it's a glimpse of what it maybe it would be like. And it's kind of loud, too. I was the guy who got the noise complaint. I'm the quietest neighbor in the world at home. But we were doing this show over a PA with speakers out the window, you know, from 1 to 3 in the morning. And people came up in their pajamas and asked us to shut the windows, which we did. But, you know, you don't go to LibPair to talk about Barack Obama. You know, it's like all of the questions that libertarians have asked of what is liberty? How many libertarians can dance on the head of a pin? Is it okay to shoot this or this? Like, all of that stuff. Somebody else can do it. I'm not going to do it. I've already said my stances on all of those things. If you dig through all my stuff, you can figure out what my dog whistles are saying. I would like to see, you know, and there's a couple things like this. Like, there's the Sovereign Tech Podcast, which is a tech podcast by an ANCAP. You know, I would like to see a car podcast by an ANCAP. I would like to see, there's a science one. Stephanie Murphy does science stuff, you know. I don't want to hear about tyranny. I want to hear about what ANCAPs think about what they do. There should be more of that, man.
Solutions.
Yeah.
Amen.
Or just life, man.
Hey, that's right on.
To Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
So we're talking about why and how you should podcast. I have a quick how. My friend Bernie, who has a great podcast, I just listened to some of it, The Life, Liberty, and Proper
Tea podcast. He's British, and it's a tea time podcast. Mm-hmm. Great stuff. Great production. I gave him some tips, and it's at llpt.co.uk, and I'll link that in the show notes. But it doesn't have an RSS feed, man. There's no way to like subscribe to this. So I'm right, gonna. Right. So Bernie, when you hear this tomorrow, email me, and we will do some Skype like I did with Nick Hazelton to get his website all fluffed and folded. Mm-hmm. I think that literally, if you don't have an RSS feed, you're not a podcast. You're just a collection of audio or audio and video. Like a lot of people say, check out my podcast, and it's a YouTube page, and it's like, that's not a podcast, man. A podcast, and I'm not saying like, that doesn't fit my definition, but it also doesn't fit the definition of like, what's great about serialized spoken audio with an RSS feed you can subscribe to, because you can mm-hmm. subscribe to it, automatically downloads for you. You don't have to go find it each time. And it's audio. It's not audio and video. It's like, I don't need to watch people, you know, looks, the people look like they're checking their email while they're talking. I just want to hear them talking so I can do it while I'm, you know, tending the lawn or walking somewhere or driving somewhere, you know? And that's what the value too of spoken audio is, like, it's immediate, it's familiar, it's like a good friend talking to you, and you can do it while you're doing anything else. It doesn't mm-hmm. require, you know, you can still drive a car. You can't drive a car and watch a movie. Hopefully you won't.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, oh, go ahead, sir.
Unless it's Freely the Banana Girl, you got to watch her. I mean, whew, man.
I don't know what that is.
It's a dietary show for people that like to eat raw food and run. She's really cute.
Okay. What's it called?
Freely the Banana Girl. It's like the word free and L-E-E, Freely the Banana Girl.
Cool.
And she's pretty interesting. I can listen to her. She's good for that, but man, you know.
Well, one of my big goals lately is to help other libertarians and ANCAPs mm-hmm. and no government men and no government women get good audio and do podcasts that people will want to hear. And mm-hmm. there's not that much to it. You know, it's not rocket science. But there's a few things to it that make it better, and I know a lot of those things. I think I'm going to write it up into a PDF or into probably a Kindle book, and because it's going to be a lot of work to actually write it up. I write books for a living, and I'll give it away to people I think really need it, but I'll also sell it. The thing is, I kind of don't want to sell it, because if I sell it, all the lefties are going to hear it too. If I just give it out on this podcast... So, I don't know, maybe I'll give it away to people that are torrenting the RSS Fiends link, and then I will, like sell it for $100 for a 20-page Kindle book or something.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Are the effects are still on my voice. You just pigeoned me. I know that. I meant to do that, man. I like it. Okay. It's an experiment.
Right. Well, I didn't know if you were still coming from the future or not.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. But, so I've been working with this guy, Nick Hazelton, to get his podcast up and really great. And I mean, first episode was great. And he's got two out. I say something else to like, you know, people that do a podcast, tell your friends about it. Like Bernie's my friend. We've talked a million times. He talked about doing a podcast and I didn't know it was up. I mean, there's like four episodes of this thing. I would have been out like, you know, pimping it to the world and he didn't even tell me about it. So I had to hear it from you.
We've done several. Actually, we've got
you're on some of these, right?
Yeah. I'm on all of them.
So if you were at Porkfest, you would have told me about it.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah. I would have totally told you about it. I'd have, yeah. No, we've got several of them are just straight talking. Other ones are skits, and it's Bernie likes to do skits. It's like, you know, he's like the Monty Python of Liberty. Awesome. I mean, he's really good at what he does, and he's fun to work with.
I think he did one with Nick Hazelton, too. I don't know if it's out yet. But,
I don't know if it is either. Right.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to hear. And I think that's what he wants to do.
See,
he likes,
someone I don't even know just retweeted my tweet. Great new ANCAP podcast from really smart 15-year-old. And I linked the iTunes link. I did that today. Someone I don't know with 32,000 followers just retweeted that. Bernie.
Wow.
Bernie. You could be getting the Dean bump too, Bernie. Let me know. Keep me in the loop, man. So, you know, the thing is, here's another reason I want people to do radio and podcasts. And I kind of look at podcasts as an end unto themselves, but they can also be
a stepping stone to radio syndication. And as far as I know, the Fiends are the only people that started out as a podcast and ended up syndicated on radio and kept doing it to the point of having 25 radio stations. Free Talk Live started on radio. They added a podcast. Yeah, they started 10 years ago on one station in their town in Florida. Like, they used to go into the radio station to do the show. I think they've only had a podcast 6 or 7 years. But here's the thing. There's a term, celebritarian, which is means a celebrity libertarian. There's a really funny comment of someone else I posted about Nick Hazelton's anarcho-yakitalism podcast. Jim Cunningin, C-U-N-A-G-I-N, said, "Listen to this first episode while mowing the lawn. This guy's great. He keeps this up, and he'll be a full-fledged celebritarian before he's old enough to not vote." That is a really funny comment, man. I like it. So here's the thing. Like, I come from punk rock where, like, you know, it was a music that started as a reaction to arena rock and mainstream rock. And, you know, it was like, screw the barrier between you and the stage. I want to be on the stage. You know, there's that Jello Biafra comment from Dead Kennedys, who was kind of a, you know, celebrity punk rocker, because they are really good and they stayed together. He said, "Don't hate the media, become the media." And if the lefty minarchists who hate the government can come up with something that cool, the ANCAP libertarians should be embracing that. We really should. And I've always been about the media. My whole life I've been trying to get my thoughts out into the world, even before I had thoughts worth getting out into the world. You know, when I was 11, I built a radio transmitter, an FM radio transmitter, and talked into it in my neighborhood. And I don't know if anyone ever listened to it, but the fact that they could have meant something to me. And I got into ham radio. I used to, like, before the internet, you know, when I was a teenager, I used to, like, have pen pals from magazines, like music magazines. I'd write to people around the world and wait for their letters to come, and it'd be really cool. And then I got into playing music, you know, played in a band. First record I put out, I was 21. Oh, by the way, today is my 20-year sober anniversary. I completely forgot to mention that.
Man.
Yeah,
that's outstanding.
Like, it's like so ingrained in me, I don't even think about it. It's like, oh yeah, like and I have it as my birthday on Facebook because I don't want to use my real birthday because I don't want people to steal my identity. And so I have my sober day as my birthday, and today everyone's like wishing me a happy birthday, and I'm like, it's not my birthday.
Right,
that was like months ago. So
that happened to me on July 4th. Everybody was like, "Happy birthday!" I was like, "Oh, I forgot."
Oh, you put that as your birthday?
Oh yeah. Well, happy sober day for sure, Michael. Yeah, man. That's awesome. Yeah. Can't beat that.
So, you know, I came out of punk rock, which was like, you know, making our own records, putting together the covers, printing them on Xerox machines when friends worked in the middle of the night at the copy company, and, you know, just like by hook or by crook, getting stuff done. And it was before I was a libertarian and had a sense of ANCAP morality. Like, oh yeah, it's a corporation. Sure. Use their stuff without paying. But, you know, we did it and we would like go, we would have gigs at, you know, like the gay club in town that never had gigs and, you know, wouldn't let, you know, like the rock clubs wouldn't let us in. So we'd go to the other places and we'd play in barns and basements. And I ended up touring with that band and touring America 6 times, touring Europe once, getting signed to Warner Brothers, getting a heroin addiction, breaking up the band because I wouldn't stop my heroin addiction. They all quit my band and I was left, like, you know, alone in an empty room with all my stuff in the pawn shop.
Wow.
And now
you've
I'm
had
in a,
the full one.
And now I'm in a room full of gear and I'm talking to like more people a night than I ever played to music to altogether. So, and it's pretty cool and I dig it. But The idea of celebrity was like anathema to punk rock. It was like, ew, celebrities, that's horrible. And, you know, part of it was jealousy of people that weren't popular, that were in bands that weren't popular. But I was in a popular band and still like hated the idea of celebrity. You know, it just seemed, I liked attention. I liked people digging my music, but I didn't like the star system. You know, I never really liked like having a, you know, some places we'd play, they'd have like a guard from backstage. And I'm like, no, man, I want people to come backstage and bug me. I just hated all the star crap. And I have this, I've noticed this thing with libertarians. Like, I think when they get about 20,000 hardcore users, they go insane and they start saying stuff that's ridiculous. Like Stefan Molyneux has been saying, without me, the world will be set back 2,000 years. Like, he's basically saying, I am Jesus Christ of liberty. You know, he's an atheist, but he's saying he's Jesus. And, you know, when he says things like, if you're into karate, you're a messed up person. There's something wrong with you, you know, or into kinky sex. And it's like, I wonder why people are even listening to him anymore. Like, I grew up, I came up listening to him, but I think it's time to move on for me from him, because how can you like someone who's totally right on one thing and just totally wrong on other things? It's kind of like minarchists who like Thomas Jefferson and say, oh, he was into liberty, but yeah, he also said it was okay to own people, but you know, that was a different time. It's like, how can you have a celebritarian and wake up every day and be like, I want to see what this guy's saying. I really care what he's saying. I want to know what he's saying. When he's someone who says insane crap all the time, even though he surrounds it with like brilliant crap. Mm-hmm. I just think it's one of the things I want to do is make like help build like 100 new talk radio people to help like be an alternative to those people when they go insane, you know? Mm-hmm. And out of 100 people who start doing podcasts, you know, half of them will pod fade in 6 months. They won't be doing a podcast anymore. And of the 50 to keep doing it, you know, like 4 or 5 of them are going to be stellar and have like really good rapport, really good ideas, really good way of saying things and really good audio. And then the rest of them will be just kind of okay. But even so, they're doing it. And if like, if 10 people or a couple people listen to them, it's a success, because right. They're having a dialogue. They're, you know, they can sit in the, here's the thing. It's kind of like writing, but more personal. Like, I heard this writer one time say, someone said in my movie DIY or Die, I asked Steve Elliott, why do you write? And he said, cause it's like being alone, but being with people at the same time,
right, which is also, that's proper,
which is why it is proper. Like someone recently asked me, why do you like cats? And I said, cause it's like having company when you're alone, you know? And I really like, I had a good time at Porkfest, and Ian Freeman said, "For a guy like me who claims to live in his basement and hate people, I sure was good in front of an audience doing that show live." But but I prefer to not be around people most of the time, and talking on the radio is a way to do that. And if you're a person who doesn't love people the way I do, I'm not shy. But if you're shy, radio is great too. It can be.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back with more on Freedom Fiends. Arg.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
So, Jack, I promised to let you get a word in edgewise. I was on a roll. I had things to say, and I said them. But basically, what we're talking about is why everybody in Liberty who wants to should do a podcast and not think, oh, I can't do that. You know, if only 2 people like it, the market will decide. If 2 people's enough for you to keep doing it with no money, then that's fine, and you still do it, man. What do you got to say there, sir?
What, at one point when you were talking about Sir Molyneux, the thing that I remembered is that when you get to a certain level, some people think that it's kind of like, it's that bully pulpit kind of mentality, and they like to pontificate, and that's when you really lose people. you become the inverse of what you actually started out to be in the beginning.
Yeah.
And once you lose that, it's very hard to get back. You have to think about everybody, like in the picture on the Fiend side. If I have to keep that in mind.
We're These a gang, man. We're a gang.
Right.
We're totally a gang. And I am like the unspoken dictator of this gang, but it's a gang. And you know, it's like, it's my property. If you want to be on my property, you play by my rules, and everybody's digging it. Everyone's getting along. You know, the name Dean, D-E-A-N, is from the Latin, from the same word as decimal and decimate. And it means, literally, Dean means one who rules over many, which is why a dean of a college is called a dean of a college. I think we should change the meaning of dean to like one who herds cats.
That's,
you know, I don't rule over many, but I'm herding cats. I herd cats all the time.
Mm. I wonder what we'd name your hall after if we had a libertarian campus. Dean, Dean, Hall, Hall.
Dean, Dean, Hall. That's funny.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think I'll ever have a wing of a university named after me, because I'm not a celebritarian, man. I'm so against the idea.
Right.
I like people liking my thoughts. I like people giving me money. I said the best fan we ever had was the guy who walked up to me at Porkfest and said, I love your show, and handed me $100 and then left me alone.
Oh, wow.
That's the best fan in the world. I don't want people to worship me. I want them to dig what I do and hand me money and go away.
That's exactly what libertarianism is not about is worship.
Yeah, you know,
it's inspiring people to be their best, other people and yourself, and expecting the best out of your own self. Yeah. I mean, it's and being free. I mean, that's the point.
Yeah, and you can get well known at what you do, but to me, it's more about it's about the art, and maybe I get to go along with the ride. But it's like I don't ever want to be, you know, people. I mean, I wrote a book on like how to get creepy people out of your life, and then people write me, they read that book, and they write me and say like, what should I do about this creepy person in my life? Like, I don't want to give you advice, man. Read the book. Do what you want.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not an advice giver, which is another reason we don't take calls. But I just kind of think that I have this thing. I'm calling this rule the Dean. What is it? The Dean factor. The Dean. You know, every libertarian loses his mind, or at least his internal filters, at 20,000 hardcore followers. And I have more than 20,000 listeners, but I don't have 20,000 hardcore followers, probably because I push people away. Like, I'm like, I don't have time for that. Leave me alone. You know, I don't want to be the person people ask for the advice on how to run their life. I'll be the person on advice on like what microphone to buy or what to do if your cat's sick. But yeah,
no popes, no gurus, man. That's the whole thing.
If you meet the Buddha in the road, kill him.
Right.
Because the real Buddha's inside you.
And I think people have to keep that kind of stuff in mind. There's another phrase that goes along with no popes, no gurus, but I forget it. It's a famous ANCAP saying.
It's no kings. You see,
no kings. No priests, no kings. That's right. No priests, no one. I forget how it's said, but it's in Latin.
It's the Dean effect. Every libertarian loses his mind, or at least his internal filters, around 20,000 hardcore followers.
Codify it.
I am the libertarian central scrutinizer, and I have decided that's what that is going to be. I've named it after me because I'm great. And, you know, I mean, people might think I'm a little hypocritical because I'm like, I like attention. I just don't like to have the responsibility of, like, people looking up to me. I hate that crap.
Cats like attention. They don't like you following them around.
There you go. Absolutely. Cats will run away if you follow them around. But they'll, you know, if you kind of go on the other side of the room, they'll come to you. I was thinking,
Ben Stone is a good example of humility for sure.
Oh, yeah.
You know, comes to podcasting. Excellent example.
He's great. I love him. And I helped him with his audio, too. And I'm not saying, like, I'm great. I'm just saying, like, examples of, like, I know how to tell people how to do this. And that's one of the things I want to do for Liberty before I die is make 1,000. I want to replace myself 1,000 times over. I don't want to be the star. I want to make myself obsolete. It's a lot of work, man, doing this every day.
Keep going.
Worms. Last night I had someone fill in for me, and I just listened to my show with two other guys doing it. It was nice.
That's pretty awesome.
That's what I'm going for, man, is replaceability. Open sourcing liberty.
Worms. You can't beat that idea.
Yeah. It's like, that's why I had to change the nighttime show from Michael Dean After Dark to Freedom Fiends, man. You know, it's like Free Talk Live isn't the Ian Freeman show and Mark Ed show. There's shows where neither of them are on, and it still works.
Hey, this is Squisgar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says Worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing. Buttons. Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep or sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $5
for 10 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network. A collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Meow.
be kind of quiet there because my wife's asleep. Yeah.
Damn.
No singing after she goes. No loud singing after she goes to sleep. So,
yeah, and I know I still have one of the effects on, and I like it that way.
So, hour two here.
Two of two of the Freedom Fiends, Jack Johnson and Michael Dean, talking about why you should podcast, why you, the listener, should podcast. And let's take a little break here. What did you do this weekend, man?
Oh, man. I hung out with a bunch of Navy SEALs, Special Forces guys, Marines. So
to do what?
Well, we all get together and talk. It's just kind of decompressed to be around each other instead of being around everybody else because we understand each other.
Oh, and so you keep them from the public?
That's right.
Well, thank you for your service.
You're welcome.
I'm just saying, because like military guys can be rowdy. I know a lot of them. I got family.
Oh, yeah.
I got family. They can be rowdy, especially on July 4th.
Mm-hmm.
I got this new thing. I've been saying thank you for your service to people who've never been in the military. I like doing that as a meme. And it's not – the thing is, people get upset about it if they hear you doing that and they know the person was not in the military. It's not that you're taking something away from someone else. It's like, hey, no, there's other people that have – done service that means more to me, you know?
Right.
I heard someone say, this guy said, there was an argument online and someone was like, you shut up. I fought and died for, I fought for your freedom. And the guy said to him, well, you must not have done a very good job.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I don't ever hate on military members for being military members because a lot of them get tricked into it through like the poverty draft, you know, like the powers that be have wrecked the economy so much that it's like one of the only jobs that's available to young people who don't have a lot of schooling.
Right.
They do it to get schooling, you know?
Yeah, that's what I did. My family told me that they weren't going to pay for anything. And so I ended up going into infantry at 17. So.
Well, the government always pays more because they can steal or print all the money they want, so they can always out-compete the private market.
And people get – I don't really think they only take advantage of you if you die. And I know that sounds bad to say it that way, but at the same time, you get a lot of stuff happening for you later on when you get your scholarships and GI stuff in. The one thing that really happened this weekend that I've never had happen before, there was a really amiable character that showed up. He was really tall. He looked like Ichabod Crane. And we got to talking, and I figured out pretty fast this guy had worked in Special Forces Psychological Operations because of the way he was talking. And I nailed him, and I said, were you doing this? And he said, how did you figure that out? And I explained to him based on his vernacular. Come to find out, he's at this stage where he's a constitutional libertarian. And what's really interesting is that he said, tell me the name of the show. And he says, I want to listen. And I said, it's freedomfiends.com. And he's actually listening tonight. So that's a pretty interesting thing.
Well, if he's
thing.
At freedomfiends.com, he's not listening because the streaming link on there just plays old episodes. Did you tell him how to listen on LRN?
He just wanted to listen to the old shows, but I think he does know how to listen on
he's
LRN.
He's PSYOPs. He'll figure it out.
Yeah, it's easy for
him. We need to get him to ANCAP because we need more PSYOPs people in our community to help use that kind of technology, that mental technology on the statists. Yeah, man.
Yeah, he talked about a very simple technique. The basic stuff. And I knew this ahead of time. They go by this thing called persuade, change, and influence is their main motto. And he said that what
that
he learned
so scary and messed up for the military.
Well, his thing was enrollment. He said what I learned later after I got out of the government. What was more important to do was enrollment. Get people involved with what you're doing instead of trying to change and influence them. And it made total sense. And this guy, he'd been around the block. He started to, and I'm not giving him away because nobody knows who he is, but you know, he started out river rafting and he started, you know, to get a little Bob Marley in his life, for lack of better words, and he started to chill out and he said, I began to enjoy life. And so what we're doing tonight really interests him, which is why he's listening.
Cool.
So.
Yeah, we need him. We need him to come over to the dark side of Ancapistan.
Yeah, you don't really have a hard time making the argument to SEALs and Special Forces people. They understand, because they think differently anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Adam Kokesh was in the PSYOPs division of the Marine Reserves. I heard that somewhere. Mm. And he does a good job with liberty propaganda, and that's not a negative thing. I used to consider myself an artist. You know, I did music, I did all the music that's on this show.
I made a living as a musician. I do all other kinds of art. I do a little bit of visual art, but not much. I do make movies. Oh yeah, there's that. I forgot.
Right.
You know, I do all sorts. I write books. I've made a living writing books. And I used to consider myself an artist, and now I just consider myself a propagandist who has a good background in art and the techniques of art. And I want to teach that to other people. I want to give back. I want to give back because, you know, I don't have any kids. My only kid died of cancer. I don't have a person to, like, give things back to in my life that's younger than me. You know, I like younger fans. I like this guy, Nick. I'm not saying, like, Nick, you're my son now. No, I'm just saying, like, you know, Nick's 15 and, you know, he's eager to learn and he's really quick study. He's really smart. You know, I tell him something once and he gets it. I don't like it when I have trying to teach somebody something and it takes more than one try. Then I'm usually not interested in teaching that person. But, you know, I want to give this stuff back and teach people how inexpensively you can. Although I got a bunch of gear now, man. I'm really loving this pile of stuff that I am calling the What's Up or Windowless Assault Terminal Satellite Uplink Pod. It's my stack of rack mount gear. I bought a rack mount for it, but it was like a quarter inch too small, and it was my fault.
Oh, no.
Like I didn't measure it, and and it was only like $30, and it was really heavy, and I didn't want to like mail it back by, you know, boxing it up and driving out to UPS, which is like outside of town. You know, it wouldn't be worth it to return it. So I just put it on the ground and poured catnip on it. And my cats are like living in it now. They're like, Daddy, you bought us a new cat house. We love it. And we can scratch on it because it's covered with fabric. Yeah,
that's right. Well, the thing about what you're doing with people with podcasts is that the one thing that I learned right off the bat. Now I've been listening to Freedom Fiends since it was the Guns and Weed podcast.
Oh, that takes me back. That was April, April Fool's Day 3 years ago. So it was like April, May, June, July, like 3 years and 3 months. And we did start it on April Fool's Day. People thought it was a joke. It was a podcast called the Guns and Weed podcast. And then we changed it after 8 episodes to Freedom Fiends because we felt it would be more inclusive. And I don't even smoke weed, and it's like I'm the most adamant marijuana activist who doesn't smoke weed, but I still just didn't want to like turn off, you know, like there's people who wouldn't listen to something called the Guns and Weed podcast that would listen to the Freedom Fiends, and I didn't want to be stuck in a box.
Right, yeah, and what I noticed about what you and Nima were doing was you constantly worked on trying to grow your audience space and to develop more ways to reach more people.
We did, but I spend more time working on growing the podcast and then turning it into a radio show. Like I'm more interested in improving audio techniques than I am socially networking. I mean, I share stuff on Facebook. I share stuff on Twitter, but I don't build, you know, I don't pay a lot of attention on there. I don't do what it takes to like become a Facebook star. Although I had 3,500 friends without even trying after a year of being on there. And I got so like time sucked by it. I just quit and deleted that page, you know, that account a few years ago. And then I came back really recently. I'm Michael Fien on there if you want to add me. And it's already like, I don't know, I've got 100 friends or something. I don't know, something like that. And I'm already like, ugh, this is work. People are talking to me. I have 165 friends. And I'm like, ugh, people are writing me. Ugh. Okay. I love it, but it's like Facebook is like, it's like a puppy. It's constantly like, oh, like there's always something of someone asking you something on there or saying something.
Like a Japanese digi pup. You have to feed
it.
You remember those?
Yeah, I do. Tamaguchis, well, I think they're called.
Yeah, I forgot what the name was, but we had one just to see what it was like, and it does actually die on you.
Facebook is the Tamaguchi of I'm going to write that. Really? I'm going to post that on Facebook. So go on with growing your brand and your podcast and your audio.
Well, we started to, like I said, working with Bernie has been my first chance to actually have more hands-on experience with what you do. And that's basically, and this is going to segue into what we were doing with the podcast. We're doing the same thing with our podcast that you guys started out doing with the original shows. It takes so long to mix down a show, and you called it double enders. Is that correct?
Yeah, where you talk over Skype, But you wouldn't record the Skype conversation. You'd record your end of it separately, and the other person records their end separately. And then one person sends the file to the other person, and they sync it up and make another, you know, it sounds better, basically. But it's so much work. I can't believe he's doing that. Is Bernie doing that or wanting to do that?
Yeah. He's doing that because of the variety show element, but I think it's going to wear it eventually will wear down on you.
I mean, I guess it would work for short skits because they'd be skits are kind of more for the ages than, you know, like little commercials you make. I mean, they go viral and they stick around a while. Like I made commercials like 3 years ago that are still joke commercials, like the Cat Muff one that are still playing regularly on Liberty Radio Network.
Yeah. Cat Muff is one of my favorite ones. Yeah. I like that one. Yeah, but
Will Coley, my friend Will Coley.
Ah, that's right.
He just clicked like on my Facebook post of Facebook is an annoying and useful Tamaguchi. Now, I actually talked to him on the phone today, though, and I met him in person and hung out with him. He's a great guy.
Now, Will, I think I know that guy, and the reason he lives in Knoxville, is that correct?
Yeah, he's the head of the Muslim redneck contingent or something like that. Redneck Muslims for Liberty. I don't know what it's called. There's actually
nobody believed me up here when I told him.
Did you find it on Facebook and show him?
I found him. He's got 14, almost like 15,000 likes. So yeah. I mean 1,500 likes, I should say.
Yeah.
And he'd be like the only person that I would be able to eat with if I went up to Porkfest.
Why, are you Jewish?
I'm in a Jewish community, and I do raw foods and stuff like that. So I noticed that he was doing a lot of the same dietary stuff.
Yeah,
I
kosher would do. And halal, how do you say it, are very close.
Halal,
like
halal.
Generally,
yeah.
You know, in a pinch, if you can't find a store that sells halal, you can eat kosher.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it's that Old Testament stuff before they had refrigerators, you know. All right. I'm just saying, that's mine. I'm not being disrespectful. And it is Ramadan, so I'm not going to... Yeah, I'm just riffing, man.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
This is the Central Scrutinizer.
I steal your labor by force through taxation.
My job is to spy on you and keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends. I especially do not want you to torrent
Freedom Fiends episodes to keep them drone-proof. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
This is
welcome back, cool cats and kitty girls. This is Michael Dean of the Freedom Fiends with my late night jazz voice, which is basically because my wife is trying to sleep in the next room, and I was getting a little excitable, so I'm going to bring it down a notch. We're talking here with Jack Johnson about podcasting and radio and why everyone should do it. Not everyone should do it, but why you should do it if you think you should do it, even if you think, I can't do that. So in conclusion, Jack, what do you got to say?
I noticed that the two most important elements to actually making a podcast work, well, this is what it seems to me, is once you get it to a point that you're in finished production, you really do need to seek instruction from somebody that's been there before. And the other thing
Don't tell me what to do. Yeah, that's my problem. I mean, people have actually tried to tell me what to do with this show, and I'm like, do you know who you're talking to? You know what the interesting thing is? Did you ever notice, Jack Johnson, that every fight, like 99.something% of every physical fight from like, you know, kindergartners shoving each other into the grass to like, you know, gangsters murdering each other in mass with machine guns and like every problem with a cop, every physical altercation where someone ends up hurt, pretty much at one point in the escalation, one or the other or both parties say some variation of the phrase, "Don't you know who I am?"
Right.
Or like, right. You know, it's something of like, you've disrespected who I am. You're not recognizing the greatness that's me. And, you know, if you do a podcast, you can just, you know, you're great and other people recognize it. And some people will hate it no matter what, because there are griefers in the world. Even if it's good, they'll hate it. But, you know, every fight starts with some variation of, don't you know who I am?
That goes back to the second observation, which was welcome criticism. You really have to be open to that. Yeah. And make corrections if, you know, if you, and you have to use a little bit of value judgment, but at the same time, make corrections and then you're going to grow. You're going to put something out. You're going to put a quality product out there that people will listen to and benefit from. That's really important.
And it should definitely be a goal to grow it. And you know that I understand that thing that Bernie's doing of the double ender podcast where you record it separately and then sew it together. And it's like, that is so much more work. And the thing is, Skype has gotten to the point where it sounds pretty darn good if you use a decent mic and, you know, have it on a mic stand in front of you, near you, and have a windscreen on it and are in a room that's not a big steel box, you know, that's kind of sound conditioned a little bit and has some fabric and has some, you know, some curtains and some carpeting. It's going to sound pretty good.
Yeah, a lot of people here, they'll listen to the show and they'll go, it sounds like you guys are in the same room. And that's it. That's the point. That's what it's supposed to sound like.
Yeah, this is the only show that I know of. I'm not saying there aren't others, because there's, you know, probably 100,000 podcasts in the world and probably 10,000 radio shows in the world. And I have not by far listened to even a small scratching of them. But this is the only show I know of that's syndicated on radio or even a podcast that has multiple hosts in different locations. It's audio only, you know, we're not looking at each other on video for cues. That sounds really good. I've not heard one yet. And it's really strange to me now doing it this way after having done it a couple nights in person with four of us all sitting at a table in Porkfest where we can watch each other and see our cues and get feedback from the audience, like, you know, applause, which is really weird on a radio show, but it's really cool.
It's like Garrison Keillor of Liberty.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's you know, if you got something to say and you want to talk, and, you know, don't worry about whether or not people are going to want to hear it, because the thing with podcasting is it's narrow casting. It's not broadcasting. Like broadcasting, you know, to be on radio, you have to be like lowest common denominator, which the Fiends are not and Free Talk Live is not, but and things are changing a little bit, but it's kind of a fluke of nature that those two shows are on the radio. We both worked really hard to do it, and they've done it for 10 years, and they're on 150 stations now. It's a freak of nature, though. And I think in 2 or 3 years, we're all going to get kicked off the air when the next president just, like, outlaws, you know, free speech or something, you know, on government-controlled radio. They're going to be like, what? You can't do that. And they'll throw us off. They'll throw Rush off. They'll throw, you know, all the right-wing guys off. It'll just be reports of why the local police are great. They'll have school kids go out and interview the police about why they need more taxes. That's my
prediction.
We'll
all be on shortwave.
It's true. No, we'll all be on
no
the
effects
internet.
Needed.
We'll be on the internet, man. And another thing we're doing too is torrenting, like encouraging people to download torrents.
Oh yeah.
You know, so if the time comes when, you know, all our websites are taken away and nobody has Meowbit, can't look at .bit because they didn't listen to me, they'll still be able to share it on shortwave.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Steal my package. Don't steal my package.
That's what I say to the TSA.
Don't touch my package.
So what is don't throw my package.com is the website we're looking at. If you're playing the home version of the game there. Don't throw my package.com. This is mind blowing and disgusting. What is this site?
It's a site where people report postal carriers of all types, including delivery package folks, that have literally tossed their package.
Yeah.
Like they'll ride by and go, woo.
There's video of like United States postal workers throwing people's packages into a ravine, into the creek.
And that was, we found that one on HuffPo, which I normally don't go there, but I was looking at that particular article and I found it there earlier this week. And basically, the woman in Alabama, that's the postal.
Come on, do the accent.
I don't care. I'm going to throw your package in the ditch. And so that's literally what you see. You see, like, this overweight kind of white woman tossing people's packages into the ditch. Like, you know, they had made her mad or something like that. And you really don't know who it is, but she got caught on camera 2 times. And apparently there's people that go around filming. Now be aware, USPS workers, there are people that go around filming folks. They put it on a website called don'tthrowmypackage.com and people report to the site.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently we got one here in Raleigh. Lazy postal person throws package 20 feet.
And there are, I was kind of disappointed. I was thinking it would be all United States post office workers because, you know, in my libertarian mind, the free market is perfect. And, you know, UPS or DHL or FedEx would never do this. But fortunately for me, for my worldview, for my, you know, I don't want to have, what's the word? For my cognitive dissonance to keep going, there are a lot more U.S. postal workers apparently being caught throwing packages than there are private carriers doing it combined.
Right, right. I mean, there's some FedEx stuff and about FedEx throwing packages over a fence and then UPS doing the same thing. But the majority of this is, of course, with the union thugs over at the U.S. postal
thugs. I'll bet the Postal Workers Union is going to respond to this by trying to get a law passed against filming postal workers.
I think so. That seems like a logical step for those folks. But, I mean, the fact that we're having to discuss this is ridiculous. I mean, throwing people's packages. The lady throwing them in the ditch. Okay, the big complaint is people, like, literally punting the packages up to your front porch like they were, you know, throwing basketballs. Okay, I kind of get it. They're trying to get through their day and whatnot. But if the lady that
at least
is in
it's
Alabama,
delivered, if they throw it at your porch, at least you get it.
It's broken, but hey. Yeah. The thing with the lady that was in Alabama was that she literally was going down to a ravine and tossing people's packages into the ravine. I don't like you. I'm going to toss your package in the ravine.
Or just she's having a bad day, or just she's crazy, or, you know, isn't getting enough free stolen government money.
Yeah, apparently they're – and this isn't any concern of mine, but apparently they're not supposed to smoke in their vehicles either. And we have a little secret hiding place over here on our drive on the side of the mountain. And I'll go by there a lot all the time, and there's always a postal person tucked away up in there and smoke a cigarette as fast as they can.
The postal worker that delivered to us in California before we moved to Wyoming – was a drunk. I mean, you could smell alcohol on him 20 feet away from him. And he would at least once a week put my mail in my neighbor's box or put my neighbor's mail in my box. And fortunately, I had a cool neighbor and we'd go exchange mail. But that's unacceptable, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that happened to me this past week, and I've got a package that didn't even show up this week either.
I mean, that would get you fired in the private in the private market.
Right. And we live on such a strange street name that it was bizarre that it got delivered to the street down in Side. Yeah, and they do this kind of stuff all the time.
You live on Dick Cheney's Shotgun Lane, right?
That's right. It's a ridiculously long name. You can't mess the name of this place up. And she still did it. I mean, she's cute. Every time she comes by the house, I'm like, hey, you want to do dinner?
I'd rather have the ugly mail carrier that gets it right by far.
Right. Right, yeah.
Because I'm 50. You know, if I was 18, I might feel otherwise. But no, I don't know. I've always felt really strongly about the power of
my stuff getting to me. And I've always been the mail. You know, like I said, when I was a kid, like I used to write to people because I was waiting for the internet, the web to get invented so I could chat on there. And, I kind of had a thought of it, too. Like, I remember doing radio, you know, making these little transmitters and getting into ham radio when I was like 15 or 16 and writing letters to people and being like, I wish there was a quicker way to like send a letter, you know, and I thought about like faxing people long distance with long distance charges, but
just throw it.
Well, you know, the U.S. military experimented about 100 or about 80 years ago with rocket mail, and there was actually a commemorative stamp to it, rocket mail stamp, and it was like, you know, sending a sort of guided missile like from state to state carrying mail, and a few of them blew up and burned everyone's mail up, and you know, a couple of them landed, burned someone's barn down, and you know, it wasn't ready. I think now they could do it with drones, but they won't do anything useful like accurately and quickly deliver, you know, packages with drones. Google's going to have to do that. The U.S. government, all governments just want to blow things up and wreck things, and that's their mission statement, you know.
Amazon started the drone delivery beta test already.
Did they really? I thought that was just a marketing ploy.
Actually, they're really serious about doing this, so they're trying to figure out how they can best set it up. I mean, it's still going to require a UPS person at some point or a USPS person. I don't know if they're going to have a drone station in town and you get Amazon Prime delivered by drone.
Oh, okay. So it's going to go from one Amazon facility to another, and then a person's going to carry it over to your house. I thought it was going to deliver it and, like, you know, hover down with a quadricopter.
Right. I thought so, too.
And drop it on your front porch. You know, set it gently on your front porch and then ring your bell with like a finger that comes out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, what's going to happen then is like a bunch of hunters are going to mistake it for some like anti-hunt people. Just
get off the lawn, air.
You know? Yeah. Well, you know that in Colorado, there was some small town that like passed, you know, the town council is a bunch of small government, get off my property types. You know, you're violating my constitution types who are on the city council, which is probably unconstitutional anyway to even have a city council, but they passed a thing where the city would pay like $5 for every drone you shoot down.
Mm-hmm.
And this, you know, a town government in Colorado enacted this, and the feds immediately responded with like, please don't shoot down drones, it's a violation of the following laws, blah 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 blah.
Yeah, they always do that.
Yeah, you're getting kind of robot-y sounding there. Are you doing something with your internets?
Let me see. How does that sound now? What does it sound like?
Sounds good now.
Okay, all right.
Turn off your porn, man.
Oh, sorry about that. I think it was the site Don't Throw My Package kept refreshing itself.
Oh, yeah, that's not very refreshing. I'm going to close that. Yeah, I don't like sites that do stuff when I don't want them to. I hate auto-loading, you know. I mean, when I was a statist, I probably thought there should have been a law against that. But now I just think, hey, the market will take care of that. Who's going to go to that stupid site?
Well, they've got some pretty interesting – I saw a plugin the other day for – you know that shadow out pop-up that shows up on sites now? It's kind of like a light box thing, and it forces you to like sign up for their newsletter.
No, some guy, I don't go to those sites, but okay.
Yeah, some guy apparently came up with this. You can get it in a Google store where it just blocks those. Kills it. That's what I love about this kind of, you know, people doing that. And but it's, you know, it translates to the free market as well. And I don't know what to make of the U.S. Postal Service, where it's going to be at in the long run. I mean, they're great at passports, right? You know,
they're great at issuing government documents you need to travel because of the government. Yeah, I got to renew mine. It's expiring this year.
Yeah, I might need to do that myself.
In case I decide I don't love America and have to get out.
the ultimate get off my lawn.
Yeah, move to Somalia. You know, the thing is when we say, oh, the market would take care of that. To statists, that sounds like, oh, magical fairies will sprinkle pixie dust and everything will be great. But the thing that – go ahead.
in lieu of the government taking care of things. That's how that sounds to us.
Yeah, if you want, you know, in the book 1984, they said, if you want a vision of the government, if you want a vision of the future, imagine a boot stomping a human face forever. You know, that's true. But I could also say, if you want a more lighthearted version of it, you know, if you want a vision of the government, picture your package being thrown into a ravine. And apparently it's not an isolated incident to the point where there's a website with a bunch of videos of it. And think about how hard it is to get how few of those incidents are captured on video. I mean, there's postal workers everywhere all the time.
Right.
You'd need a person following every one of them to catch every one of these instances.
When my package wasn't delivered, they were sitting there. They were going to start questioning me about it. And I said, hey, man, I've got the camera on the front of this house running all day. And at that point, they says, okay, we'll call her. We'll figure out where it's at. They knew that they couldn't do, that little woo magic stuff that they normally do.
Yeah.
And that's what got me was like, how many people don't have a video camera on their driveway where they can say the postal person didn't actually show up? And how many times have they gotten away with, kind of putting a hoodoo on somebody?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm glad we got a chance to cover this because it's just kind of like, go long, Mr. Bullfrog.
What's that from?
I don't know. I just made that up.
That's great. I love doing radio with you.
Bullfrog, yeah.
So the thing is, when we say, well, the free market would take care of that. Without the government, the free market would take care of that. The thing is, what that means really is people would take care of it. And, the state is saying, well, the government is people. No, it's not. It has people acting like robots being forced into situations where there's two people interacting and neither of them want to be there. Like, Davi talked to people at the TSA when they were messing with him. And he's like, none of them want to be touching people's groins. They don't want to do that. And the person whose groin is being touched doesn't want to do that. And it's all just security theater that isn't going to stop anything. And the people they've got doing it are too stupid to stop anything. A lot of them are hired off pizza boxes. And, there's a joke in the FBI that apparently is based in some truth. Like, if you're too stupid for the FBI, you go work at the DEA. And I would imagine if you're too stupid to work at the DEA, you work at the TSA.
And then from there, you work at the ATF.
And then you work at the post office if you're too stupid to follow that. Or too angry or too incompetent. And just go long, Mr. Bullfrog. We'll be back with more of telling you what's wrong with the world and why we're right. I don't debate people because I'm right. I don't do it.
Worms.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Start smoking marijuana. Ivory Ball. Number nine.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Jack.
Back from the future.
Before we go to our redemption in the third act, we want to talk about dreams we've had lately. I've had one bad dream lately, and you've had one. So between us, we had a couple.
Yeah.
I had one where I was talking to Garrett Fox, and in my dream, I was at Porkfest. Okay, I'll admit it. I just keep being at Porkfest, but in my dreams, because I want to get back there. But we were at the hotel outside of Porkfest, and it was a different hotel. And my wife was on the phone, and I was reading her chromed robot book, her little Kindle thing. Mm-hmm. And I was talking on the phone to Garrett Fox, and lying on the bed next to the window, and the window was open, and suddenly I heard like a police radio and voices, and then like a police reached in and grabbed me and started searching me, and I said, I didn't do anything wrong. And then I woke up, and then I heard like children playing in the next yard really loud. Like my brain filtered children playing to be police because I don't like listening to children play. So that was my dream. What'd you dream?
Well, it's based on the fact that they found Vlad, or they think they found Vlad the Impaler's tomb. That's Dracula in Italy somewhere.
To me, that just sounds like they found a tomb and just wanted to drum up some tourism. But go ahead.
Right. And so the big deal is they're going to open it up next week. And for some reason, that triggered a dream in my mind that went all MC Geiger meets Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and these things were coming out. And I did all the right things that you should do in a zombie movie, and I made it to the end of my dreams.
Wait,
and my
does
friends
that mean you had a shotgun?
Correct. I did. Okay. And I somehow made it to the end of the dream, and I ended up waking up right before work. And it was just bizarre. Yeah. It's kind of scary. I'm hoping for good dreams tonight. It's what I'm really working on, you know. So maybe is there that deep fear that they're going to open up Vlad's tomb and you know, Pandora or whatever. Oh my gosh! You know, the anti-vampire. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. How's your brain, Jack?
All right. I think.
How's your brain, Jack?
Sorry. I'm going to chortle into the microphone.
You did. You did that. So we'll do a little redemption in the third act here and kind of tie up what we've been talking about. I don't think we need to. I just want to talk about the why you should podcast stuff. So what more do you have on that?
Well, basically the same thing that I was going to tie it up with. The whole being when you build a community of folks, and when I say build, you don't really build it. You just kind of invite those folks.
No, I
to
do.
Come
I
in.
Take DNA and I take parts from various humans and then I build my friends.
Now you're scaring me. It sounds like my dream last night. But yeah, getting those people involved.
That's a line so in the. You see the movie Repo Man?
Yes, I have.
There's a scene where the main character, Otto, meets the woman who's from like the CIA or something, the one with the metal hand, and she's being sarcastic about his friends that are sitting at the table, and she says, "I like your friends, Otto," and he says, "Thanks, I made them myself."
Self, right? One of the best movies of all times.
I was really good friends with that actress Olivia Barish. That's the main girl in there, the love interest of
really
the guy of what's his name? Who's the actor that plays Otto?
I forget his name right off the bat.
The guy from the Mighty Ducks.
Yep, that's him.
Yeah, whose brother and father are great actors. What are their names? You know, Emilio Estevez is the.
That's right.
Yeah, he plays the main character, and the woman that plays his love interest. You know, the one who's trying to get the car that has the aliens. She and everybody else are trying to get the car that has the aliens in the trunk. Yeah, Olivia Barish. I was really good friends with her. We used to shoot dope together back when I did drugs.
Wow.
Yeah. But go on.
Yeah, and the thing about it is that once you start to get your podcast together and you begin to grow it, you just start to put it out there and people will listen, especially if you get the sound right.
And then if you get bored of it after a while, you could write all new music in one weekend for it, like this happy number I wrote and recorded one night.
Really?
I like this song. I call this song Stinson Sunrise.
Right on, Aaron. Well, it's good talking to you tonight, Mike.
Yeah, man. It was great, Jack.
Awesome.
Give me a worms.
Worms.
Thank you, groovy guys and groovy gals. Tune in tomorrow for more Freedom Fiends. Same bat time, same bat channel.